On January 25th, iCare Health Network assumed operation of Park Place Health Center on Greenwood Street in Hartford. Yes, the 150-bed skilled nursing care center will emerge and operate under the name Parkville Care Center as recognition of its important place and history in the Parkville neighborhood of Hartford. And we have a very special guest with us in the studio.
Dave Skozelek, who's the Vice President of Business Development for iCare. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So now we talk about touch points all the time here in the program. You're the parent company of touch points among your products, right?
That's correct.
And you've stepped forward here, and you've assumed operation of the Park Place Health Center, which I recognize that immediately. That's a long-running healthcare center around here, right?
Yes, most certainly. It's been around for about 40 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe perhaps longer. It was Greenwood Manor at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And Park Place, and now it's going to be Parkville under the iCare Health Network.
Okay.
And you've always had a tremendous reputation.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yes, we're hoping that the reputation that comes with iCare Health Network and merging that with Parkville will give them the opportunity to, you know, launch the next, you know, a couple decades of their service to the community.
What made you decide, or what made the company, David, decide to go ahead with this purchase? Are you always looking at properties and keeping a tab on the industry?
We are. So part of the plan for it was that, well, first of all, it made sense with our existing care centers. Mm-hmm. We're clustered around Greater Hartford.
Yeah.
They serve a population that's very similar to a lot of our other care centers. Mm-hmm. And it had been in bankruptcy twice.
Really?
So our model has been to buy skilled nursing facilities and care centers out of receivership and figure out through several different means how to make them financially viable over the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done that for all 10 of our current facilities. Actually, 9 of the 10 current facilities have been bought out of receivership and turned around and not, you know, returned to financial distress. And we'll turn around the operation inside of it. We'll bring in new clinical programming, new leadership teams, and make it financially viable and make it something that contributes to the care of the residents that we serve.
Well, as I said earlier, you got a great reputation and jobs. That's going to be one of the highlights, I would think.
Yes, most certainly. We offered employment to 100% of the current employees that were there. And that number, you know, it's fluctuated to determine how many are going to stay, and it looks like the vast majority of them will stay. And as of last week, 100% of those we had offered to at that point had committed to staying. So it's around 150 jobs that are there between per diem and full-time folks.
And I think that's important, too, because
Listen,
both of my parents, I had aunts and uncles who were in long-term care facilities, and the people that work at these facilities, they become like family to these people, and a lot of the people that work there, they don't want to leave the people they're caring for, and the families and the people they're caring for don't want to necessarily see a flood of new people because, and again, my personal experience, you get to know these people and you trust that they will take care of your loved one.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, 70 of those jobs were folks that live in the city of Hartford, so it's obviously important for Hartford and the economy there, but what you're saying is exactly right. You know, there's a saying in long-term care that the residents aren't there in our workplace; we're there in their home, and so that's really what we're, you know, thinking of when we provide to them every day is that this is their home. There's a lot of trauma that goes along with being transferred to another facility.
Oh.
So if this facility, you know, had to close and we had to move folks to a different care center, there'd be a lot of trauma for them to deal
with.
Which
is not really good for some people who may be a little bit older and who may not, you know, who may only be, let's face it, who may only be comfortable in living because they're relaxed around who they are. And if you have to ship them off somewhere else, the outcomes aren't good.
Right, moving them out of their home, that's exactly right. And this, Parkville has a substantial amount of residents on their memory care unit. And that's an added element, too, to move patients that have a cognitive or a dementia, you know, component is really traumatizing. So they won't really sense any kind of change. I mean, the signage on the building changes and some of the leadership changes, but the people that they've seen day in and day out will still be there. If anything, we're planning on doing infrastructure improvements so that the environment around them will continue to improve. So that's great for them.
You know, and one of the things I believe with your company is the reputation that you have, and the folks that are there, they know what the reputation is and what it does. So I just think it's going to be a fabulous addition to that area of the city.
Yeah, we agree. First of all, I appreciate you saying so, and we work hard, obviously, on that reputation. And we were very happy to see that people were happy to see us coming. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, the judge that managed the receivership, the receiver themselves, which is the person who manages it through bankruptcy, was happy to see us coming. The staff was. I think they, you know, we've worked hard to show that we can manage this type of situation and really get it going in the right direction, and we're very hopeful for it.
Dave Skozelik is the guest. He's the Vice President of Business Development for the iCare Health Network, and they have just assumed operation of the Park Place Health Center, longtime health center on Greenwood Street in Hartford. Dave, what are some of the you said your company obviously goes and rescues some of these homes out of receivership, does a revamp there, gets them back on financial footing. But other than that, stepping back a bit, what are some of the challenges now that your industry is facing? I mean, people think, oh, it's just elderly coming in all the time, and it's Title 19 or their own funds. But I know, again, from having gone through this with my own parents and my own elderly relatives, it's a constantly changing scenery, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was a convalescent home. It was a place where...
I haven't heard that term in a long
term. Yeah.
She's in a convalescent home. Yeah.
And it was a place where you were, you know, 75, 80 plus years old, and you were there for, you know, your activities of daily living type care, but it was not super specialized, and it was just a different type of format. It really was a rest home type format.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is that most folks, after they have surgery or after they have a hospital stay, they're going home where they want to be, which is, and we support that. We want them to be home too. That's what we work towards. So what we really have to do is take patients that have more complexity and more challenges. You know, we treat patients that have behavioral disturbance, that have a, you know, substance use disorder. We do have a long-term care component that will never go away from you know, the nursing home side of things, but we take care of congestive heart failure and COPD that we've, you know, talked about on this show before. Congestive heart failure is a very complex medical condition that requires a lot of very focused care, and we do that. So almost, you know, the vast majority of our patients are in some type of specialized program that is still focused on getting them home. But those patients that used to come to us a lot of times go straight home now.
Mm-hmm. What's and I was thinking about this when I knew you were going to be coming in. What's actually happening in the nursing home business?
Yeah, the overall picture.
Yeah,
there's a lot of consolidation in the state, meaning that there's the facilities that can't survive financially for whatever reason, whether they're having a hard time admitting patients or parent companies are going through different changes. The state has either assisted them in closing or they've assisted them in a sale like this Parkville transaction. And so they really look at how many beds are in the area and what services they're providing and what the viability really is to it. So we've seen 5, 6, 7 closures just in our area in the last couple of years, and there'll probably be some more of that. The question is whether that's long-term, whether that's viable, because we're still probably a couple of years out from the really big silver tsunami, as they call it, where all the baby boomers, they really thought that would be happening by now, but people aren't usually using nursing services till a little bit later in life.
Well, they're living longer.
Right.
They're taking better care of themselves, and they want to stay in their homes. Yeah.
So our industry thinks that we're still maybe, you know, 2, 3, 5 years out from an actual big spike, and at that point we may have less nursing home beds. So we're just trying to position ourselves as a network to provide the best care for when that does happen and to the patients that we have now.
You talked about the fact that it's about 150 jobs, and, you know, about a third of them, you said, from the Hartford area, which is great. I've been fascinated at the, again, having had my mom and dad in nursing homes and my aunt and uncle, who I also took care of. It's a really special kind of person. And I thought of this with hospital nurses, too. But nursing homes, it's a really special kind of person that takes that job.
That's right.
You know what I
Absolutely.
Mean? It just for the amount of people you're caring for and the little things that you have to remember about every person and getting to know their relatives. And I can't tell the number of times when there was something going on with my mom or dad and I got a call from them and how they initiated the initial care. They, you know, people who work in your industry, you know, you know, on the front lines of providing the care, they're really special folks.
Yeah, most certainly it's not an easy job day. And if without the right people, you know, we're nothing without the right team. I mean, you can say that in a lot of industries and not really quite mean it. But really for us, if you don't have that, exactly as you described, it has to create that family environment. They have to be able to care for essentially the same folks over a long period of time and notice those small changes in their condition and really and make it a home-like environment for them. And yes, it's not glamorous either. I mean, they really have to be committed to the care of the residents we serve. And as long as I've been with iCare, I've been super impressed with. I go, you know, between our different care centers and see the type of people that that we have been able to have on our team, and we're really lucky.
And wasn't hard to really fit in. iCare just seems to be the kind of company that you guys have put together that can go in and know exactly, like you've been there all the time. That's how it impresses me.
Yes, I try and make a welcoming environment. I mean, there's always more things you can do in that regard, and we're always looking at what the next step is for customer service and to make
because it's a competition, it's a business.
Well, it's that. Yeah. It's also the transitions are so difficult for patients. You know, you have that hospital stay. You're kind of there's a lot of delirium around the discharge, meaning you just don't remember.
Believe me, I've been there. Here are your papers. Sign this. Go
exactly.
Here. The nurse is coming here. We're going to transfer you to there. And you're right. I mean, those 2 or 3 days for all 4 people I took care of, I mean, I just went home and passed out. I'm like, my God, at least they can just go to sleep. I've got to worry about all this.
They say the highest readmission to the hospital comes on the first day or two of care because of that.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make those transitions smoother. We have transitional care nurses that actually follow from the hospital into the facility and a lot of the time to home care as well.
I notice there's a reference here. I wanted to bring this up. You know, anytime something like this happens with David, with a purchase or a takeover of a hospital, you know, immediately people think of, well, what are the workers going to do? You know, you're retaining all the workers. And I know you put out kudos here to, I think it's SEIU, right? Service employees and your other unionized workers that have been with you in this purchase.
Right. 1199. Yeah. This has to be teamwork with the union. You've got to be the least amount of adversarial interactions as you can have, and sometimes, you know, the partnership with them goes a long way. So we were very thankful for the judge that manages the receivership. We were thankful for the receiver. You know, the mayor's office has been supportive, the governor's office, and then you know our union partners have been really, really good in making this happen for us.
So this is the number of folks that you have in there, about 150.
We have for patients or for employees?
No, for patients.
So it's a 150-bed facility. As of today, we have around 120.
Okay, so you got some space.
We have some ways to go, and you know, a lot of that's achieved. You know, getting the census up is achieved by having really strong clinical programs that are culturally competent because it's a very large Hispanic population there. So that's going to be our goal in the next couple of weeks, is building out the clinical programming and the culturally competent program.
So people should know that if they are interested perhaps in having a loved one who needs care, look at the Park Place Health Center. It is now on steady financial footing.
Yes, most certainly, and or any iCare Health Network facility. You know, it's very tough to pick skilled nursing because, you know, it does look very much the same to somebody who's not in the business. So we really have to distinguish ourselves on the clinical the strength of the clinical programming. So that we're going to bring that to Parkville.
Excellent. And this is perfect for us, the kind of because of your reputation. I mean, that's really the battle.
and we love to get you out there, Brad. I mean, we've had you for our veterans programming and a couple of other things, and we'd love to get you to Parkville.
No problem. Excellent. No problem at all. All you have to do is call.
All right.
All right. Once again, David Skoslick, Vice President of Business Development for the iCare Health Network, talking about they are now their new operation, or it's a long time there, but now they are controlling the Park Place Health Center on Greenwood Street in Hartford. David, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks
for having me.
Thanks for coming by. Stop by anytime. There you go.
No question.
Bring Brad there. He'll do his old vaudeville act while he's there. Put him up. Brad will do a little soft shoe. He'll tell some jokes. People, you can have all the people there. They can throw stuff at him. It'll be good.
I look forward to it. I really do.
David, quick number. If folks want to, I don't put you on the spot. Do you have a phone number if they want to get more information about any of your properties?
Sure. 860-812-0788.
812-0788.
Or iCareHN.com.
All right, great. iCareHN.com. David, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yep.
Terrific.
Coming up.
And we'll be seeing you soon.
Coming up to...